الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. مولانا غورا ساليجي مولانا محمد ساليجي sent a very nice article, a very thought-provoking, very short, to give some advice, but you only got one line to write in there. What will you write in there? You have to give a very short advice and, of course, very comprehensive. So what will you say? So he says that this is a thing which all of us at that time, this may be what, 70, 80 years ago, that we are unmindful of this. That, and he says the wasiyat of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam to his children, that ma ta'buduna min ba'di, what will you worship, who will you worship after me? As parents, he says, parents of our family, in the family all the parents, in the town, in the ummah, every one of us, to just that come to us, that our children, what are they going to do after us? As far as our deen is concerned. Of course, as far as dunya is concerned, we are all very much concerned. We see to the dunya's education, we see to their clothes, we see that their blankets are right at night, we will go and check on them also, didn't the blanket fall off, so many things. But as far as deen is concerned, how much are we really worried of the aqaid of our children today? As Allah Ta'ala reward, mashallah, all this different, the five shobas, main five shobas of deen, which are so important, how much are we really worrying about our children? That whether their aqaid is correct. And especially today we will put them in the, not in the lion's den, but right in the lion's mouth, at the universities, etc., at the colleges, high schools, and all the wrong aqaid that have come in today. And unfortunately today we have become like ostriches, just put our head in the ground as though there is no problem existing. Whereas there are so serious problems. If our children got wrong beliefs as far as Darwin's theory of evolution is concerned, Big Bang theory is concerned, matter cannot be created, matter cannot be destroyed, Allah is above all that. And if they are learning all this and that is part of their belief, then as far as ibadat are concerned, our children, are they doing their namazes, etc.? Then of course all the other also mu'amalat, our business dealings, how much are we worried about our children? Mu'asharat, mu'ashara, that as far as social life is concerned, And then akhlaq, character, adab, etiquettes also. Fulfilling the rights of other people. So this is a very important thing which Allah put in my heart, in all of us. And also we should make dua. We bring up our children correctly, give them the correct education. And this hadith teaches us that when we have done all that, now there is a dua to read that I have done my duty, now it's between you and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But have we done that? And after that, to follow it up with the dua also. For our children also, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا. Many of us, we have got problems with the children. So, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori, rahmatullah alayh, who stayed many years in Madinatul Munawwara, and there, Medina Sharif at that time was not the Medina of outwardly, economically, etc., what it is. There was great poverty. It was very difficult to stay in Medina Sharif. Now, mashallah, there is a lot of money everywhere. There is a lot of wealth, comfort. Everything is so easy. But even now, if we just go a little bit on the outskirts of Medina Sharif, Allah reward Haji Ahmed Nakhuda Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, that he knows many, many people who are sayyids and who are going through difficulties, widows, etc., and he goes and distributes money to all these people. So till today also. But anyway, that time what the condition was. And he says that with my family, how much sabr they made. Sometimes days on end we don't have food to eat, but they made sabr on that. By the barakat of this dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. We should read that dua regularly. Read it after our namazes. And even Maulana suggested the last dua in your namaz also. For with regard to our children, this is a very, very family. There is a very valuable dua. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. We are all gathered here, Islahi Jalsa. What is our Islah really? We have to Islahi, to make Islah of our nafs, to correct our nafs. What is it of our nafs that we have to correct? Like that, perhaps it's just all in the air. But are we becoming aware of it really? Are we taking into mind what it really entails? So Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq first. As I'm speaking, I address myself that all these things I have to take into consideration. And every one of us, if we take it for ourselves, and let us not be fooled by our titles, I'm a Maulana, I'm a Qari, I'm a principal, I'm a Hafiz, I'm a Qari. And let us not be fooled by our outward appearance also. Make shukr to Allah Ta'ala in this zamana and this time, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, very great. But let us not be fooled that my outward I've made, so I am made already. Inshallah, we take husn faal, we have great hopes in Allah, that what we could try and do our outward, Allah will make our inside also. But we have to be concerned, what's the condition of my inside? So let us not be fooled by our titles also, neither be fooled by our outward appearance also. This is no license for other people who are not dressed according to sunnah, that the dressing doesn't matter. And neither is the permission for us to think that we are dressed according to sunnah, Allah accept it, and that we are now all right. Let us not be fooled by that. So with regard to this, let us see a few things. We find it happens also, quite commonly in fact also, some people come and they want to become bay'at. But what is the reason of becoming bay'at? Perhaps they've got a financial problem. They've got a marital problem. They've got health problems. So they feel we will become bay'at, then we will ask the sheikh for du'as. Now I'm a murid, so even more the sheikh will make du'a for me. And many khanqas, and it's not haram also, ta'weez also. The sheikh makes ta'weez and gives ta'weez also. So then I will get a ta'weez. So the object is not really the Islam. The object is to get that ta'weez. The object is to get that du'a. Our sheikh, rahimahullah, where Hazrat was Sarapa is shafqat. Only kindness and mercy and tolerance. But I know on one occasion an alim came and he wanted to become bay'at, but he was in a hurry. So Hazrat said, if you haven't even got this little time and you are imposing on me that you want to now and now you want to become bay'at, you say, where are you going to make your islah then? And Hazrat should say, those people who come with their other problems, they sort out your problems. This is not for your problems. This is for your islah. A person who becomes bay'at for his islah. But anyway, even if a person becomes, and we find our mashayikh, mashallah, big hearted. People come and put what conditions when they before they want to become bay'at. They make them also bay'at. And they know that they are going to get pulled. Jazb. They will be drawn closer. And of course the sheikh will make dua for his murid. That is what is a sheikh. If he doesn't even make dua for his murid, then that sheikh, a father, parents who don't make dua for their children, ustad who doesn't make dua for his students, this is a thing that we should do. A friend, and he doesn't make dua for his friend. Well, that is not a friend. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So anyway, that person also becomes bay'at. Perhaps he's very far from deen. Outward appearance also very far from deen. And his practices, his life also, there is no deen in his life. But having become bay'at now, for such a person, it will be for him that I have to see my faraiz come into order, my aqaid come into order. So we should also check our aqaid in order. Our faraiz, are they in order? And for many of us, as we are sitting here, we have got qada'i umri. We have got many namazes qada. And especially for our ladies, every year Ramzan rozas, about 8, 10, 5, 6 rozas, if they miss every year. And Ramzan rozas to keep are quite easy for everyone. But to keep the qada, to keep rozas out of Ramadan is not easy. And there are many ladies whose rozas have piled up. And now when they see the big amount, they lose hope. They don't have the courage to start keeping those rozas also. So that is also a faraz upon us. Our qada'i umri, our namazas. And mashallah, many people, they have started and they completed their namazas. And this is such an important thing. So this is our islah. As we are sitting myself, if we have got any qada'i umri, or many of our males also, alhamdulillah, some of our friends, they heard and then they came and report when we were young at school, college, etc. Just for fun's sake, they broke their faraz roza also. Just to show a friend, I can drink a cold drink. I can do this. And the kafara also, the 60 rozas also we have to keep. And mashallah, by becoming conscious, they kept all those rozas. And this is such an important thing, like we are owing somebody money, a million rand, but we are not talking of paying debt. And what we do, we send some fruit now and then to them. Or for the children, we give them some sweets. And that person is complaining about us, he's not paying my money. And we say, but what kind of a person is he? I'm so good to him, I send fruit for him, I give his children. He says, what are you talking of sweets and fruit? I want my million rand. So Allah, we are owing namazes. And when we are busy with nafil namaz, for example, we are busy with other things, zakat, many of us, Allah reward them, mashallah, those brothers who became conscious and their whole properties they sold. When they spoke with the muftis and they worked out their zakat, for 10 years, 20, 30 years they didn't pay their zakat. They became conscious, they even sacrificed their properties from where they were getting income. But my matter must be clear. So this is one thing all of us think on that line. What am I responsible? Rights of other people on me. Especially the wife who we take for granted. How many times we don't fulfill their rights? Many a man will be such that our own luxuries also we'll see too. But the wife's necessities we don't consider also. That she needs a pair of shoes, for example. She needs anything else. And ourselves, we are thinking of our luxuries and our comfort. It's our responsibility of the man to see to the wife's needs, the children's needs. How much of us are neglectful in that? So consider ourselves. All these things we have to fulfill also. So where we are now, let us think, where am I? That person who is far from deen,
No, namaz is also, he must start with that. Then there are many of us, alhamdulillah, perhaps we are suhuak who have come here, and many other in the world, there are so many Allah's great, great people, pious, righteous people. We just think a little bit to ourselves in that little cocoon of ours, and I'm saying, ana wala ghairi. I'm everything. How pious I am, how knowledgeable I am. Nobody else like me. But the world, Allah has got His bandas everywhere. In the jungles also, in the concrete jungles also of America and Europe, and there also, everywhere there are those Allah's bandas who are so pious. But at the same time, all of us must think also, with all that piety of ours also, that where are we still neglectful? So one is all those things. Many of us, we are regular with our namaz, etc. But our eyes are not under control. And today, Allah knows best, but according to some ulama, that even righteous and pious people, people who are in khanqa, and people who are in tabligh, and people who are in ulama, and teaching big kitabs also, but eyes are out of control. And today the worst pandemic really that there is with the cell phone. As we have heard, how many cases, and this comes all the time. The wife finds out that the husband, middle of the night, he's got the phone and he's busy. And he's looking at terrible things, our eyes. Like that also, and many of us also, for example, the ulama also, and this is also a thing that we have to think about. There are many ladies who are old, some are not so old, some are old, but they feel it an honor that we spoke to Maulana. And when we go and visit, they will come and they will talk. And we also take it, old lady, so we can talk. Or perhaps many places, not even old ladies. And we have no bad intention. A person of the town, some visitor, a neighbor, some well-wisher of ours, and they come and we talk. It's a haram act. But we don't think about it also. Am I involved in this or not? And the sad part of it is, they will talk with us, everything, and after that, they will tell other people. Maulana also came, and he spoke to my mother. Maulana came and he spoke to my sister. Now we regard great regard for Maulana. And Maulana teaches us parda. But now, and this person can't be lying, and he's talking to all the people also, women freely, and sometimes we're even making jokes also, innocently. We don't mean anything, but it is haram. It is not only lust to what lust, then it is haram. But the laws of Sharia, so am I guilty of this or not? Every one of us, and then this is about Maulana, but many of us, that in our shops, etc., in our family dealings, etc., social gatherings, we just mix freely. And this is a thing, today, mashallah, Maulana Musa explained quite a bit, and Allah reward him, but these things are very open, and we don't regard it. These are those things, this is what is Islam. We're not even thinking of it, we don't make tawbah about it also. We are at work, we are working with a secretary, we are working with females, whatever our work, but tawbah istighfar, realize it's a guna, but we just don't take it even as a guna. So all these things also we should consider. So my eyes, are they under control or not? One is, and without guna, and also in this, we appear in public with women. We are no Maulana, but in public I appear and I'm talking with women, etc. The whole world is viewing that I'm talking. That guna is done openly. And that is a greater guna. One is a guna, Allah protect us from all sins. A person does private guna. That is between him and Allah. He does the worst guna, but it's a private thing. And one is publicly, openly we are sitting and talking with women, having discussions with women, etc. This is a totally haram. Am I guilty of that or not? We should think. My eyes are under control. Is my tongue under control or not? How many of us, our tongue, and yeah, again it comes, mainly it will be with the family again. We take them for granted, and we'll just speak anyhow. And we'll accuse them also, we will shout them also, something which we didn't do, and it just came in our mind that she didn't do it, we shout at her, etc. And those women who keep quiet, that is more dangerous than those women who fight back. More dangerous for us. If she turns to Allah, and I've got nobody, my parents have passed away. My brothers, I haven't got brothers, sisters, so I got, but they got their lives, I can't go to them. And she turns to Allah, what will be our condition? And if she fights back, we will get saved, but it's now wrong for her. If she goes over the limit, and she can also, her right is her right. But easily a person goes more than that. So our tongues which are, and yet we will think, I'm alright. I went to Islahi Jalsa, so my Islah is made. We take that also for granted. Just by the mere fact that I came to Islahi Jalsa, my Islah is made. No, it isn't. Like for example, we asked about tabligh work. Yeah, our masjid, mashallah, tabligh work carries on properly. Taaleem also. Do you sit? No, I don't sit. We don't think about it. But my taaleem is carrying on in my house, taaleem is carrying on. But am I sitting in the taaleem? Namaz is carrying on in the masjid. But am I in the masjid or not? So our tongue also, we have to think. And those of us, if we have, we are at least conscious of this. At least we are making some tawbah, istighfar. Perhaps none of us are such that we are free of it. But at least some tawbah is consciousness of it. Tawbah, istighfar. Well, otherwise with our tongue, we just use our tongue in what way? Sometimes when we lose it, then the swear words that come out, the things that we say, the curses which come out, for our own wives, for our own children, and by Allah, there hai and there nahi. If that thing hits us back, the curse which we did, gave to our own son, to our own daughter, and when that curse now falls and becomes apparent, you suffering now. And we will suffer terribly with those curses. So our tongues also are very much out of control. If our tongues reasonably, or at least we are conscious, some tawbah istighfar, then our thoughts, our mind, our heart, the thoughts that we are having, and what thoughts, and a person fantasizing, and freely, he doesn't even think of it as haram. That is also totally haram. And worse, if we are with our halal wives, we are intimate and we are thinking of another woman. That halal, which has got so much thawab, we turned it into azab for us. And how many of us are guilty of this? As a person goes in life, still if we don't make some effort to become conscious of this, we are guilty of this. And yet we are thinking, because I got a nice beard, people respect me, people come and greet me, they ask me for dua, so I'm all right. But really, what is my condition inside? So that also. Then there are many on other lines also. Whether it is our aqaid today. It is necessary. Allah explains with regard to the Bani Israel. That they believe, but they believe very little. On there they were, وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. They say our hearts are full. Our hearts are closed. We can't accept anything else. بَلْ لَعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ فَقَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ قَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Ulama have written on this ayat that they believe on very few things. So there the ulama write, to believe on a few things is not iman. To believe on a lot of things is not iman. To believe on most of the things which are required in iman is not iman. To believe in everything, that is iman. For example, Maulana explained about polygamy. To polygamy is jais if we have objection. If we have a reason, and I don't believe, I say in this zamana it doesn't work. It doesn't apply. My iman is gone. Anything, capital punishment, cutting off the hands, etc. It's not practiced anywhere. But if I say, na'uzubillah, it's some barbaric act, na'uzubillah, that will take us way in kufr. So every law, 100% we must have iman. If we have iman on 99%, and one thing we don't believe on, it negates the whole of our iman. So am I conscious of this or not? Or I'm just living. Allah Ta'ala is Haleem, Kareem. Allah is Sahibi Jood. Allah is giving us, how are we breaking His laws? He's still giving us the best to eat, the best cars to travel in, the best houses. And this also has made me, beguiled me, has deceived me. And I think I'm alright. If Allah was cross with me, He shouldn't give me all this. Then all the other non-believers, what and what haven't they got? And Allah Ta'ala says, had it not been for the believers' iman, for this non-believers, I should have made the staircases of gold. I should have made the doors of silver. I should have, what and what I should have given them, but to protect the iman of the believers. So the dunya's namas are no sign that Allah is happy with us. If Allah gives it in the obedience of Allah, it is na'mat. It's a gift from Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Ji, Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib, Jazahumullah Khair. Allah increase his stages, he explained. And if Allah's na'mats are coming, Allah's favors are coming in the disobedience of Allah, then it is niqmat. It is a punishment from Allah. And we have to fear then very much that Allah can take us to task anytime. And if Allah takes a person to task, he doesn't know what hit him from what side. And nobody can help him. The world turns against him. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatun's beautiful poem. One, Allah becomes displeased with us. The whole creation turns away from us. Those who were dear to us, those who were loyal to us, they also become our enemies. So we have to be very careful. So these matters all, this is what our Islah is. That we work on all these matters. And all other things also, which are related to various aspects. Everyone, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us brains. Use the brains in the right way. The brains only for this dunya, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. The things of this dunya. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا غَايَةَ رَغْبَتِنَا. Don't make the dunya the object of our life. Don't let us use all our capacity and capability for the dunya. We should use it for akhirah. Use it to correct our lives with Allah Ta'ala. So all these things and many more things, let us think about it. On one occasion, one, most probably it was a murid of Hazrat Manana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, was in the hospital in Bombay. And the doctors wanted to operate on him, to do a procedure, so they wanted him to sign for it. So he said, I will first make mashura with my spiritual doctor. So the doctor said, who is your spiritual? We are your doctors. We are treating you here. He says, no, I've got a spiritual doctor. So he said, who is that? So he told him, call all the doctors of the hospital, the private clinic, and I will explain to you who my spiritual doctor is. So they gathered all, and then he told them, see, you people regularly testing us for all different things, for the heart condition, and for sugar, for cholesterol. Oh, you take our blood, you do tests, you do scans, etc., you do x-rays, all the things you do, and you see with regard to our physical health. But tell me, can you take some blood sample, or any test you can do to see how much of pride I've got in me, how much of jealousy I've got in me, how much of greed I've got in me, how much of stinginess I've got in me. They say, no, this we can't do. So he said, that is what a spiritual doctor is all about. That we see, we go to doctors, and we give it lot of importance also. But the real, to see to our ruh, and the spiritual maladies we have got, I've got lust in me. And this also is such a thing, almost every person, youngsters and even old people, when they explain about their condition, about their desire for a woman, haram, illicit affairs, etc., a common factor that is there, that I've got lot of lust in me. In other words, I can't help it. I'm a person, everyone thinks like that, that I've got a lot of lust in me. Many also feel that the women are after me. Everyone thinks all the women are after me. Nobody is after you. You after everyone. So all these common diseases that we have got, so we have to think about sorting out this everything. All shame of myself, pride that I have got in me. And Allahu Akbar, pride is such a thing. One was, on one occasion, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced in the Sahaba that I'm going to be visiting the Jinnat. So I want that person among the Sahaba to accompany me who has got no pride whatsoever in it. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up. What a quality. None of the other Sahaba stood up. Pride, the way it comes into a person. And Allah ta'ala honored Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu that in the battle of Badr when Abu Jahl was killed by the two young boys. But he still had some life in him. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud came to him. And he had still some life in him. So he told him, just imagine, he told him that I feel happy that a person like you will kill me and not the two small boys, my final, take my, how lot of pride he had in him. Then he told him, use my sword to cut me, to slaughter me. And he told him further, slaughter me more lower by the shoulder so my whole head can be properly. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said he was the Fir'aun of this ummah. But Fir'aun himself, when he was dying, he said, he also brought, he said the words of Iman. But Abu Jahl at that time also. So how much, so he who had this most pride, perhaps in the world the most pride Abu Jahl had. And what and what if you see his life, Allah used the person who had no pride in order to kill him. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When one time Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and Abu Zar was passing, he said, Hada Abu Zar, this is Abu Zar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam asked, how do you know him? He is a person of staying in Medina Sharif. You are a people who live in the heavens. He said he is more famous to us than what he is famous and known to the people of Medina Sharif. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked why. He said because his humility, his humbleness. So this is also a great, great quality. And that he used to read Surah Ikhlas, Qul huwallahu ahad, in abundance. And he loved to read it. Because of that he has this great, great position. So we have to think, what is my condition? All my qualities, the Islahi Jalsa, our coming here, my talking for myself, for every one of us, if we can think what weaknesses we have got. And then, this, it isn't just a matter of then acknowledging it. Then think about before we even perhaps do the remedy of it. Think about it, the harms of all these things. Each and everything. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala has explained right in the beginning, Alif Lam Mim, Surah Baqarah, and described about the Bani Israel. For us to understand, see, Allah Ta'ala, this principle which comes out, Allah reward the Mufassirin and the Ulama, that the minute you turn 1 degree, or a millionth of a degree from the command of Allah, you are going towards stupidity, towards idiocy, towards harm, towards destruction, complete destruction. Though it might seem in your mind that I'm doing the ideal thing what is required at this time. For example, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made so much effort on the Bani Israel to take them out of the worship of Fir'aun. Fir'aun said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. I'm your great Lord. I'm everything for you. This rivers tajri min tahti al-anhar. This rivers are flowing by my command. What and what he claimed everything. So after Musa alayhi salam, what difficulties he went through with Fir'aun and the people of Fir'aun. And then with his own people, every time they were very, very obstinate. They were very unappreciative. But what effort he made, he got them out from there. And when they went out from there, and just a little bit, he left them alone. He went to meet Allah Ta'ala to collect the Torah. Then Samiri, who was the munafiq in his ummah, he made a form, a statue of a ox, a baby ox, a calf. And then they started worshipping this immediately. So Allah says that the minute you turn away from my command, you go to such stupidity. Worshipping Fir'aun, Mufassirin say, was haram totally. He's not Allah. He's got no power. But he was a human. He had some akal, brains. He had some power. And this ox, which is a statue, And now you started worship. This is what happens when we ever leave the laws of Allah and whatever they are, and we go to our own thinking, our own logic, and now we go to total stupidity and idiocy and harm and destruction of our dunya also, our akhirat also. And the sad part, in most cases, we look at it as the right thing. I know what I'm doing. What I'm doing is the right thing. So we have to see, put it on the book of Allah, and test it on the book of Allah, and test it with the ulama who are following the Quran and Hadith, and on that see whether I'm doing the right thing. So these things here, when the minute we move away from the commands of Allah, we are going into destruction. So the Islahi Jalsa, Islah for myself, this that we are gathered here, is to try and first identify, and really all these things are present within us. And then see the harms of it. The minute I can realize this pride, what it is causing to me, what destruction it is bringing in me, greed, that a person doesn't think of haram, halal, this nafsaniyat, following our nafs, that we don't worry, this biscuit somebody will say it's doubtful ingredient, and we'll make some ta'wil, something, no, nothing wrong with this. This sweet, nothing wrong. So much so that open haram also, we will also declare it halal. And we will go, and we will do the wrong things. So this harm that comes. And then with this harm, what comes? More major harm, that if we can understand, is that one great guna also, one great harm that we have to think, whatever level I am in, this Western way of life, call it Western, call it modern way of life, anything which is alien, which is even Eastern, if it is a Hindu way of life, whether it is what Bollywood or Hollywood, everything, East and West, all these things are totally haram. So everything which is alien to Islam, when that comes into my life, whether we acquired it at school, whether we acquired it with friends, whether we are acquiring it by going on the internet, how many of our young girls have become divorced because they go on the internet to study the character of their husband. That he's an introvert, he's bad, he's polar, bipolar, all the things they find there, and that things have crippled, destroyed their marriages. Now they thought they know too much, and they became big psychiatrists. Psychiatrists, all their learning and their teaching is based on haram things. And that will produce haram. And then we just become our own psychiatrists on the internet. How many homes have been broken because of this? So all this, when we expose ourselves to all these things, then all this comes into us. So we have to think for ourselves that how much are we getting exposed? And that way of life comes with all its baggage. Today with our homes, then the mother is also busy on the cell phone. Father is busy on the cell phone. Children are busy. Those poor children are neglected also. A 5-year-old child also got a cell phone. And happy and proud, my mother gives me airtime also. What does a 5-year-old child need a smartphone for? And what destruction? And also on that, whether we are looking at comedies, whether we are looking at films, whether we are looking at cartoons, all these things, just take a little trouble to understand that it's all shaitaniyat. It isn't just some clean fun. That comedy, it is not clean fun. All these things, one good friend of ours, he explained in a bayan, he said something about the Pathan, Khan Saab, a joke he made. So after that, one person came to him and he said, "The joke you made about Khan Saab, why did you make it?" So he says, "It's a joke, okay, we make a joke." So he says, "You don't realize the Pathans, people of Afghanistan particularly, they are the people perhaps presently the most closest to Iman and Yaqeen. And the object of these people making jokes is that you make a joke of those people who got the strongest Iman. In other words, their value is out of your heart, it's out. You take it out of the heart, and we are making a bayan in a masjid. And you are talking, but we don't realize we have lessened their yaqeen and aqeedah on Iman, the true Iman. And when we talk of somebody who is following the Western way, modern way of life, we speak with respect to them. And then we are enhancing the wrong beliefs in the hearts of people. So all this here is very important that we understand my own, where my faults are lying. And then the harms of it. The harms that have been caused, Allah save us all. One drug addict in the family, and it is Jahannam in this world already. One person who is an alcoholic, it's Jahannam in this world. How people, good families, how many people, good business running, good income, whole family life going well, and a person got involved with another woman, for example. The wife got involved with another, and this unfortunately is also happening. And all this is the laws of hijab which there are. And we move away from them and we think mustn't be so holy. Now you're overdoing it. You are going overboard now. And all that, then it comes with all this baggage of it. When homes break up now, and when children become orphans with their parents living, and worse orphans, the mother pulls this side, and also with our worldly attractions. The father is pulling that side with his worldly attraction. And the amount of then the marriages which are taking place, one man marries how many women, one woman marries how many men, and all this evil lifestyle comes with all its baggage. So what is the Islah to recognize these things? And we start correcting all those things. So all these are the problems, the gunas which we are involved, and all of us, myself, until I don't understand that I am the most involved in this gunas, and I it's my duty that all who have come for Islahi Jalsa, I have to correct everyone, and I'm all right. Now, Imam giving his Jummah Bayan, and he prepares it also in this way, he delivers it also in this way, I'm all right, people have to come right. And today I'm going to tell them as it is supposed to be told. I'm going to really give them a lathering today, what wrongs they are doing. And I forget, I am the worst involved. And a person with knowledge, and he is now more, his gunas are more. And a person without knowledge is also, not acquiring knowledge is also a sin in Islam. Acquiring of knowledge, basic knowledge is farad of deen. And very sadly there also, how many a person will say that the acquiring of knowledge, referring it to dunya's knowledge. That even if you have to go to China, you must go. And what they say is for dunya's, Allahu Akbar, dunya's knowledge, that this is the ulum of Quran. Ulum of Hadith, the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which have got nur through and through in them. The words of our akabir and our aslaf, they have got nur in them. And then we quoting this people, and we following these people, who are totally opposite, who believe that monkeys are their forefathers, who believe in total wrong things, stupid things they believe, and we give preference to that. So all these evils, so when recognizing this here, now we have to start making our Islah and correcting our lives also. Now for correction of life, it's even difficult also. Wallah, more easier treatment than a person who's got cancer, than a person who has got heart problem, is to correct our spiritual life. And also, our spiritual life, if that comes in order, ulama, atibba and hukama, the great, great doctors really of the past, who were really doctors, they said that half of a person's illnesses are fear. And what people have done today, put fear into the people. The fear of the pandemic, the fear of the police, the fear of parents fear their children. Children fear their parents, don't go and visit also. You come also, you just stay outside in the garden. You just talk from there. All this type of fear, fear of criticism. People will criticize us. This fear, it completely destroys our defense. Now spiritually, physically, mentally, every way a person's defense goes down. And with fear, everything overtakes us. Then we start doing all the wrong things also. So all this we have to see, that we have to gain the trust in Allah Ta'ala. That is the starting point, that we have to now make our contact. And the way to do this, indeed Allah has made it very, very easy. It's simple also, and it's free of charge also. Always the islah. How much won't we pay for a heart operation? For a bypass or anything. How much won't we pay for cancer treatment? For anything else, how much we'll have to pay? But for the treatment of the ruh, Allah has kept his system, it will be free. And if anyone is charging for it, then he's a fraud. Don't go anywhere near that person also. This is completely free. Allah has kept it like this. And also, one thing that comes to mind, and Allah knows best. Normally we know the ulama's salaries are usually low. Allah has made a system like that, that only the ones who are genuine and who want to serve deen, they will. And who want to do see money, they will go somewhere else. A person who wants to do it for money, he will go somewhere else. But a person who wants to do it for Allah's sake, and Allah will give you so much that your expenses are covered, that you won't have to beg from anyone. So Allah Ta'ala's system is like that. So this is the treatment for the ruh. Allah has made it free of charge. Allah has made it easy. So what is this treatment? Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. That person who makes tazkiyah, that person has become successful. We first and foremost recognize all my illnesses, all my weaknesses, and then think of the harms of it. And those harms are here in this dunya. And then the harms at the time of maut. Allahu Akbar. If we did not make tawbah, we did not make our islah, and when time of death comes, and Malakul Maut comes to us, and in a, such a fearful way. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to see Malakul Maut. He said, you won't be able to see me. He said, no, I will see you. He came in the form how he comes to a non-believer, to a transgressor. Ibrahim alayhi salam fainted, became unconscious immediately. And then when he came in the form, when he comes to a believer, what a beautiful form. So if we don't make our islah, we don't realize this, realize my weaknesses, we don't admit, we don't acknowledge our weaknesses, we just bluff ourselves also, that I'm alright. And with the problems of this dunya which are coming, and all the problems of dunya put together, are not one iota of the problems in the qabr on the day of qiyamah in Jahannam. So I have to make my islah, otherwise the consequences are very grave. And in the grave again, if we can't answer, we didn't prepare, and we didn't prepare our children to answer, Mar Rabbuka, who is your Rabb? And Rabb is that beautiful word Allah has used for himself, that in namaz, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Rabb, the word Rabb, he is my Rabb, my nourisher, my sustainer. If we just see any time, as we are sitting now, if we just think, who is it besides my Rabb who has given me my eyesight? One time, in Delhi, in the time of Maulana Muhammad Ilyas, rahmatullah alayhi, one of the children or grandchildren, a girl, she had eye problem. And some doctor came, optometrist, whatever, from the UK, England. And he was known to be an expert in this, that whoever goes, he treats them, they regain their eyesight, etc. So the house people were putting a lot of pressure on Maulana Muhammad Ilyas, that take the girl tomorrow, he's coming here, he's going to be one day in Delhi, take her treatment, her eyes will, and everyone, the eyesight and of your young girl, your young daughter is dear to everyone. And Maulana said, till today I never went to a non-Muslim for treatment, how can I go? So Maulana told one Mewati who was in the Markaz at that time, if this girl's eyesight are not restored by the morning, there is no khair for you, no goodness for you. They loved and honored Maulana, that he will reprimand him, he will shout him, he will punish him. So they couldn't take that. The du'as he made at night, by the morning her eyesight was restored. So this is that we turn to Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, and we ask of Allah Ta'ala, And for all our, the physical, if we just think, our eyes Allah, who is Rabbul Alameen? He gave me not only my eyes, He gave me my brains. Not only, if I have a blister in my mouth, what is my condition? If I have just my nose licking, blood coming out now, what's my condition? Comparatively, hernia is, somebody will say, what is hernia? Hernia is nothing. But a person who's got hernia, ask him what he's going through. Piles compared to other things, what are piles? What is piles? But a person who's got all this as we are sitting, Allah has saved us. How Lord, how kind is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we have to turn to Allah Rabbul Alameen. He is our Rabb. And then in our ruku, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. That Allah is my Rabb who is Azim, who is great, who is honorable. He is my, and ya Rabbi, my Rabb. How, what a nisbat Allah has made. There we say Rabbul Alameen. Or we say, Rabbana lakal hamd, our Rabb. But yeah, my Rabb. In sajda, when you are the closest to Allah, Allah, you are my Rabb. So, how much don't we have to turn? So we turn to Allah Ta'ala. We recognize that, Ya Allah, you have given us all your ni'mat. Your ni'mat are pouring down upon us. And I have abused them. I am guilty. That consciousness, if so much comes into us, every one of us, that I am the worst sinner in the world at this moment. And all the problems in the world are because of my gunas. Till we don't realize that, we can't move forward. We won't get stuck where we are. We will go backwards. We will sink deeper into the hole. We will go down all the time. That I am responsible. And I have to make my islah. Coming to the islahi jalsa, Allah accept from everyone. But the real thing is, if this realization comes into me, that I have to now start making my, and whether I have contact with my, Allahu Akbar. Our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair said, the real muslih is only Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the muzakki, the muslih. The shaykh is only a means for it. An outward means is a sabr. So Hazrat says that many times, perhaps now too, perhaps not so much now, but many times India and Pakistan, two countries are at war with one another. They're at loggerheads, they don't agree with one another at all. So this was one of that times when it was like that. And the post from India, from Pakistan, going to India or from India to Pakistan wouldn't come direct. It will go to the UK, and from UK they will go in dealer, then it will go there. So Hazrat had some questions to ask his Shaykh Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab. Hazrat was in Karachi, Pakistan. His Shaykh was in Hardoi in India. So he says, all my work and the murid's work is, you write it down. And you post the letter. Till when, once you have done that, your work is done. It's going to reach the Shaykh or not, Allah knows you have done your share. What you were supposed to do, you just do. Today, you send an email. And you just inform. And the minute you have done that, Allah makes your islah. Allah changes you. Allah uses the shaykh. The letter reaches, he replies. Hazrat said, the minute you have done that, you don't have to worry now. Allah takes over. And Allah Ta'ala makes your islah. So that we become conscious. And we turn to Allah Ta'ala. And we beg of Allah, and the means that Allah has made, you have a shaykh, you ask your shaykh your question, you ask your ulama, reliable people in your community, what is the solution, this difficulty I've got pride. And yeah, also one very important thing, that many of us, myself, I'm the most guilty. What we speak to the shaykh, I'm making tahajjud, and I will ask, which surahs must I read? That is important. But my eyes are under control, that I'm not asking about. My tongue is out of control, that I'm not asking. My vanity, pride I've got in me, that we don't ask about. We ask just to show that we are pious, we are righteous, etc. So this is very important, that what our weaknesses are. If we go to a doctor and you tell the doctor that I'm feeling very well, my eyes are okay, my head, no headaches also, no stomach ache also, my food gets digested, my stomach works out also, then he'll ask, why did you come here? You go to the doctor and you tell him, I've got this problem. You tell the doctor your problems. The sheikh also, we have to tell our problems what we have got. And also this we have to take out of our mind. Allah bless us also and make us also all our mashayikh. That the sheikh is not going to advertise your guna. He is not going to think low of you. Our sheikh, rahmatullah alayhi, also used to say, many a murid won't explain his weaknesses to the sheikh, then the sheikh won't give me khilafat. So he's gone wrong right from there. But in the truth is, Hazrat says, that murid who explains his weaknesses, no matter how bad gunas they are, he is going to get khilafat more sooner. He is a genuine person. So we should ask and try and correct ourselves. So anyway, we first and foremost try and recognize our weaknesses. Acknowledge them. Admit we have got them. And the starting point also, you don't just write to your sheikh for everything. You got a headache, you don't run to the doctor. You take a Panado or something. You're short of sleep. You sleep 1 more hour, 1-2 hours more. Then you're... So we try our own remedy. But not coming right, then now you have to go for treatment now. So recognize and acknowledge our weakness, and every one of us, let us acknowledge. And then realize the harms of it, harms of dunya, the harms in dunya to my deen, and my akhirat which is eternal, what harms. And now I must work on the solution. And if we will do that, wallah, the people, the Ayami Jahiliya, the Arabs in the days of Jahiliya, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and many Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Sufyan, Hinda, what were these people before accepting Islam? But what they were transformed into, so that will happen with us also. Allah give us all tawfiq, guide us to righteousness, make our coming successful in the sense that we may recognize our weaknesses and we start remedying them, and Allah Ta'ala take us in a way that we have become His wali. The minute we remedy them, Allah puts the crown of wilayat on the head. And then we go to Allah, what a meeting with Allah Ta'ala then. May Allah grant us these realities. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah.